which they later described as a red and extremely elongated asteroid.
Oh.
I know. So what was coming into our...
So an alien threw a dildo into our atmosphere.
And our scientists went crazy.
Look at all the switches and knobs on that thing. Nobody wants to admit they believe in ghosts.
There are just a lot of unanswered questions.
And most people would be like, I like how people react when they hear about our podcast.
We were right.
There are things back here.
I don't want milk.
It was a miracle. We must explain it.
Hello.
Hello there, Elaine.
All our friends showed up.
Thank you for the... What? Elaine gave me a new face cover thing to use in the grocery stores and whatnot.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The other ones that I'm sure were extra special secure,
yeah,
like lined in flannel,
also
were making me claw my skin.
And also prevented essentials like breathing.
Like oxygen was also filtered out. I couldn't do it.
Oxygen was also filtered.
She won't get sick.
You know, right? Yeah. If she's passed out in the aisle three.
I know. So we went to Albertsons yesterday with the face cover you gave me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, what a pleasure.
It's much better. It's
you have to be able to breathe. There's a balance.
Yeah, there is a balance. Breathing, kind of necessary. But, oh, God. Anywho, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Oh, by the way, you guys, you've just tuned into
Wait, what?
And the huskier male voice is Elaine.
And the soprano is Paula.
La, 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 la. All right. So what's going on? We're drinking monsters.
Yeah, I know. I'm almost done with my monster, I think.
Dang, girl.
About a quarter of it is left. No,
I gotta take it easy.
Well, I've been kind of off monsters, but not really.
Because I keep bringing them?
Well, and I've also bought a couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, life is good. I don't think there's anything really new.
Mm-hmm.
SETI is, you know, search for extraterrestrial intelligence is really gearing up for, they're not, you know how they started just looking for radio signals?
Yeah.
And they're expanding that. They said there's so many different kinds of clues and some civilizations could have evolved beyond radio signals.
Oh.
So they're different kinds of detecting
that they're trying to look at. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was a thing in Brazil they believe is a UFO crash. I gotta look into it though. Oh. I've only seen snippets on Twitter here and there.
Okay.
But apparently there was some kind of unidentified object that crashed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did they have any kind of pictures of it?
They did from above. And okay. It was definitely in like a forested area. But oh,
I hope there was a creature in it, even if it's dead.
Oh,
I hope there's organic evidence.
We would never know because they would take that guy away. Kind of like they did in supposedly what they did in Roswell.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no way we would ever.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Not. No, all no. Right. The government would go, Edo, we're taking this guy. Because partly too, like when, you know, we're talking about aliens and if we ever have, you know, alien beings or whatever. I mean, the fabric of like what stitches most of the world together is their belief in this God or how it works. And that would like freak people out. Most people, not me, but most people who believe, well, how does this fall under Christianity or whatever? And I think that's that's probably not the main focus.
That's some of life's basic truths that freak people out.
Yeah. And so an alien coming and a being coming, the government would snatch that shit right away.
It turns out God has silvery skin and great big eyes.
Or not even that. That's the thing too. It's like if you believe in aliens, it doesn't mean you don't believe in a higher being. It just means that the, you know, man-made religion that we understand is not correct. That doesn't necessarily mean there isn't a higher power. They could just be part of the whole system. It doesn't mean that means just because there's an alien that there's no God.
Yeah, maybe God didn't just populate one planet.
Exactly. God, we are so egocentric.
Yes, humans are the worst.
We're so egocentric. Like, it's just us and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get more into that.
Yes, we will.
This is why we have this show. What's our motto? You don't have to believe, but you do have to laugh.
Just open your mind.
Yes, we just crank it open. Our podcast is thine lube for that. All right. Anything else?
I have nothing new to report.
Nothing new to report. We were actually thinking about, remember we were talking about like something, doing something like a Facebook Live or a Zoom show. Yeah,
like a Zoom webinar is how another podcast was doing it. I was inspired.
Yeah.
Oh, I do need to check the date of theirs. I do.
And did you see how it works?
Yeah.
I mean, we could pretty much do a live show via
Yeah, that's Instagram the idea of it. Yeah, we'll do a live show, but I think there's some features we could utilize.
Yeah. Like we could actually show you guys pictures.
Yeah, we could show you pictures. Yeah. You might be able to weigh in.
You can,
like if we have a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could get feedback right away.
Yeah, just like a live audience where you want to yell something out.
Right. And then you guys could, you know, confirm if Paula is a hybrid alien or not.
I am. Stop questioning me, Odd Squad.
All right. So let's just get into it.
Okay.
Why not? What's your story today?
Have you heard of Oumuamua?
I have not heard of Oumuamua. Kind of reminds me of that breakfast they have in Hawaii with the spam and the egg.
It is a Hawaiian word.
Okay. It's basically rice, a spam on top, fried egg, and gravy all over it.
We were big spam eaters when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. Loko moko.
Loko moko?
Loko moko is their, like, Hawaiian comfort food, breakfast food.
Oh, okay.
And is now my food. In fact, now I'm like, when I get home, I'm gonna make some
loko moko.
Loko moko. It's so And yeah, Philippine spam was big because, you know,
it's affordable for one thing.
And during the war, you couldn't, I mean, apparently meat was very expensive and hard to come by. So we also have lots of spam things like spam.
Yeah, when we
meals.
Were on a tight budget, spam, spam, spam.
Spam was good. Some rice. Mm.
Ugh, I went through a period of putting cream cheese on spam. I mean, this is like the craziest thing. I can't even believe I have a heart in my chest.
Thank you for that idea.
That's super good.
What did you do? Like how?
Okay, another thing.
No, we're like whispering conspiracy.
Just like putting chunks of cream cheese on top of spam and eating it as a little snack. Another thing I did, you know, the very thinly sliced salami.
Yes.
Rolling that around cream cheese was also delicious. I don't eat meat now, but there were so many good.
My daughter found something on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And it was she made it for me. It was great. She called it the poor man's cinnamon roll. Uh-huh. It was a tortilla, and she put cream cheese on it, rolled it up, cut it up, fried it, and then put brown sugar on top of it
and cinnamon.
And it was oh my God, these are so, she's like, it's so easy. I'm like, good, you can make me a lot of it.
Yeah, go make mommy a platter of that poor man's cinnamon roll.
Onk, onk. Oh my God. And it's funny because like I'm kind of at this weird point where I'm not punishing myself for not like getting into a workout while we're in quarantine, but I am trying to get serious. Yes. I laughed at it. And I laughed as I said, I'm trying to get serious.
Well, because this morning we didn't walk. It's perfect weather.
Perfect outside. And we're
on
like,
the coast in California. Although there are probably a lot of people outside because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Right. And that's what I thought too. I'm like, there's going to be a lot of people on. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get yelled at it by some old dude.
Ugh.
Fucker. Still not over it. no. But no, I was thinking, okay, I do want to get serious and start watching what I'm not going to go on a diet. I wanted something that I can like sustain. And it was funny because when I was thinking it, and I might have told this on the past show, but my friend Del Shod started, like, she sent out like photos from when we were partying.
Oh yeah, I saw a couple of them.
And I forgot
really cute.
I was that skinny. I was like, oh my God, I was such a snack. I mean, I'm a snack still, but I was a french fry. Right now I'm a tater tot. But I was like, ew, I could be that skinny. Now, mind you, it was before kids and I could sleep the entire time. But I'm also not blaming my weight right now on my kids. Because I went right back into shape after Madeline.
Well, I mean, the scientific fact of it is, you know, what we put in and what it does to our body. I mean, it changes the shape. It changes our health.
Yeah.
For good or bad.
But also, I'm lazy. And I didn't put fitness and health on the forefront.
I mean, I know we think about it, and there's a lot of healthful food I eat. There's exercise we do.
Yeah.
But I also know how stressful, to get different kinds of fitness levels.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to do those things presently.
And at this point in my time, I don't want to do it. I don't know. Maybe it was just motivation is basically what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's motivation, like, you can do it. You've done it before. I've done it several times.
Yeah.
But I think at this point in my life, I'm going to do it in a good way. In a way that I can sustain. I really like that.
Because really the diet structures, all I want is someone to hold my hand. And it's really not that. I mean, it ultimately comes back to me.
Yeah. This is not a health show, by the way.
This is not a health show. Let me have a sip of my Monster.
As we chug our Monsters.
I know. Let's cheers to good health. Okay, so Oumuamua was this large interstellar object that entered our solar system a few years ago.
Okay.
And the whole thing was, is it an asteroid? Is it a comet? Is it a probe sent by another another intelligent civilization somewhere outside our solar system?
Right.
And they were going back and forth, but the interesting part of it, probably it was an object not intentionally sent. Probably. We don't know absolutely for sure.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, that's what they think. But there were some high-level scientists, uh-huh, including a Harvard, his name is Dr. Abraham Loeb, who was saying, well, we need to keep an open mind because there are certain characteristics about this object that isn't definitively an asteroid or a comet, even though some were weighing in very early, like, nope, it's an asteroid. No, it's a comet. And he was saying, we have to step back as scientists and look at all of the characteristics before we draw a conclusion.
Yeah.
And one of those possibilities is extraterrestrial intelligent life.
Exactly.
And it's just funny to me. So it's kind of about that process.
But that's when the other scientists shut down because... Let's not get into that.
Okay. Because he says, like, he doesn't even like the directions of string theory and things like, you know, all these different areas of research, multiverses and all that, which we're interested in. And it's not that he's not interested. He said they're just people winning awards for the research in this area that hasn't concluded anything.
Uh-huh.
And he said, without evidence, it really hasn't taken us anywhere meaningful.
Right.
But we're rewarding that all over the place.
Yeah.
But when you consider extraterrestrial intelligent life, people are like, no.
Why does it get shut down so much?
It's kind of stupid. He said, because just... based on the likelihood of it, it's much smarter to at least consider that there's... I mean, he said, number one, we exist.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why.
So why couldn't?
We are evidence that this can happen. So, and that's a pretty good opener.
That is a good evidence.
But we'll get more on that. There were so many people reporting on that.
But it's kind of like what we just discussed about smart people knowing they don't know it all.
Right. They don't know it all. An approach is everything. Your approach to considering new information. Because if you have a totally closed mind, or you have a mind that jumps to the conclusion you want.
Exactly.
Whether that's comets or or an alien intelligence. If you say, nope, that's it. Let's look for reasons to support that. Which we do sometimes for comedic effect. But really, we're just keeping an open mind to everything.
Exactly.
So this reporter in The New Yorker interviewed Dr. Loeb in 2017. It was like 2019 when he talked to him. But here, to go back to the beginning of Oumuamua, October 19th, 2017, astronomers at the University of Hawaii spotted a strange object traveling through our solar system, which they later described as a red and extremely elongated asteroid.
Oh,
I know. So what was coming into
an alien threw a dildo into our atmosphere.
And our scientists went crazy.
Look at all the switches and knobs on that thing.
But the trajectory and the length and
it's thrusting towards us.
It's going a little fast.
How exciting.
It was the first interstellar object to be detected within our solar system. And they named it, the scientists named it Oumuamua, which is the Hawaiian word for scout or messenger. Many, many news outlets got excited when Dr. Loeb questioned whether the object, he was the one to question whether it could be intentional.
Sure.
Let me scroll up. I think it was CBS. Yeah, CBS this morning said, once it got here, it behaved in ways scientists couldn't explain.
Oh.
Harvard scientists, he's known as Avi, if I'm saying that right, but Abraham is his full name, Loeb. He said the object did not behave like an asteroid or show characteristics of a comet. It could be a fully operational probe.
Ooh.
But just to give you an idea of scientists coming against him, Jackie Faherty, who's an astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History, she said it's way more likely to be a comet or asteroid than a probe, though she wouldn't take it completely off the list. She just said the possibilities of it being a probe are real, 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 real low in likelihood.
But you're saying there's a chance.
Because that's the thing. We don't know it isn't.
And it's not showing the characteristics of an asteroid.
Right, like its propulsion. And I'll get to some of that too. But it was going at a certain speed and accelerating,
mm-hmm.
which on a comet, there are gases coming off of it. And that's the comet trail is some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no significant detectable gases coming off of this. So it wasn't being propelled by that.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Loeb said, you know, he had considered maybe it was being propelled by sunlight and thinking then it could be I think he called it a light sail. So possibly a piece from a different kind of alien object, spaceship or something like that, that mm-hmm. had come off. And a light sail is kind of like on a sailboat. You have a sail because it harnesses the wind and then the wind propels you.
Right.
And a light sail is like that, except that light propels you, sunlight or whatever.
It's harnessing the energy of the sun.
Yeah. So it's the same idea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Loeb, let me find what he said next. Oh, yeah. There was a Scientific American article. He was talking about writing that article where he summarized six strange facts about Oumuamua. One, when you look at all the stars in the vicinity of the sun, they move relative to the sun and the sun moves relative to them. But only one in 500 stars in that frame is moving as slow as Oumuamua.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't quite follow the laws of physics in the same way.
Oh, asteroid or whatever.
So you would expect that most rocks would move roughly at the speed of the star they came from. If this object came from another star, that star would have to be very special. So he's not saying it didn't happen. And it's hard. I know there's so many topics he brings up that we'd have to deep dive to fully understand every single one.
Yeah.
But to his physicist or astronomer mind, you know, this is him totally simplifying the issue for us.
Right.
But what's important to take away is that these characteristics were not normally what we would associate with these two items we feel sure about, asteroids and comets.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the spinning of it. When it was discovered that it spins every 8 hours and its brightness changed by at least a factor of 10. The fact that its brightness varies by a factor of 10 as it spins means that it has to do with the size of it. It's at least 10 times longer than it is wide.
Uh-huh.
They didn't get any photographs because they didn't detect it until late in its journey in our solar system. So they weren't able to get it from any of our
cameras. So how did they detect it? Just a radar? Or not radar, but you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, they did. The university, what did they use? Was it their telescope?
It was a telescope to detect it.
Yeah, I think so. At the University of Hawaii.
Right. That's too bad.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have these super high powered.
Measuring
systems, whether it's a telescope or like SETI does have a lot of really great equipment for detecting radio signals and all that. And they didn't find anything on this object.
I see.
In the end, we still don't know for sure that it was an asteroid or comet.
But did it
but
seem...
But we didn't get any...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, yeah, no. What's your question?
But, like, are they saying that it seemed to be, like, an intelligence behind it? Like, I mean, it's rotating it every 8 hours.
There seemed to be an intelligence associated with it. But there were other issues. They said it, so the way it approached the sun, it was moving too fast to be captured by Earth's gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So it you know, flew past us and slingshotted around our sun.
Uh-huh.
And like Neil deGrasse Tyson,
uh-huh.
He was on Colbert, and he said everything in the way it moved was an effect of gravitational force.
Uh-huh.
And Colbert, who's so wonderful and genius himself.
Yeah.
He said, okay. He picked up his pen, threw it in the air. He said, everything about what that pen just did, it flew up and then it flew back down, was because of gravitational force. That doesn't mean it wasn't started by an intelligent being.
Right. God, that's true.
And it is so true.
What did he say about that?
He laughed.
He just laughed.
He did his laugh.
Fuck Neil.
And he's like, I want there to be aliens. He said, he gets condescending because where he says, you know, you've decided that it comes from an alien civilization. And Colbert says, I haven't decided anything. He said, I'm hoping it did.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Tyson was just like, he said, well, I'm hoping to. I'd like to meet the aliens.
But I don't think believing in another theory is deciding anything. I think, if anything, he's decided.
That's the funny part of it. That's so ironic because I'm not saying it was alien, but yeah, I hope it is.
But what we did gives you a possibility. He just did and what he just said gives you the possibility that, yes, it could have came from an intelligent
And we use aspect. Gravity, and it would seem if we're traveling through the solar system or traveling something through the solar system, that gravity is going to be one of those forces that we utilize, if possible,
right,
for slingshotting or whatever. Or maybe this very large object just did that in its random movement.
Exactly.
But we don't know for sure.
But that doesn't mean we've decided that it was alien whatever, Neil deGrasse. Yes. He just really leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, because he has such a closed mind. And he is very smart IQ-wise.
He is.
But it's funny how often he can't seem to apply that to all the possibilities.
He just works off constructs that we already know. So he thinks that's it. These are all things that we already know, and it doesn't fit the construct, so it can't be that. But we haven't learned every single thing. We know what we know.
Yeah, it's a very small picture approach to a very big question.
Right. Yeah.
Because he takes out the pieces that are super in his wheelhouse.
Yes.
This is physics, and that is physics, and that is physics. The origin, we don't know.
And we don't want to go into that, but it's not this. It can't be this. The possibility of that is so blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But there's still a possibility.
It's just like the scientists working for corporations. If you're only working to support the conclusion they want there to be.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not really you're a scientist of sorts, but you're a hoary one.
Yeah, you're a horse
you're just
scientist.
Selling yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, right. You, no matter what, whatever you want, if there's the goal end of wanting to prove one thing.
Yeah.
A scientist could definitely find all evidence.
Well, I could do that with my communications degree. Like, I'll build you a sound argument in favor of your wrong conclusion.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I can do, like, anyone on a debate team anywhere can do that.
Right.
But.
Yeah. So you can't just say, oh, well, science this, science that. It's fine. I get that for some reasoning, but it cannot be the end all be all.
Right. Science is an approach to answering these questions. It's not a shield to hide behind.
And it's not, it should never be something that, oh, well, it's written in stone now. And it's like, you know, like this is how it is because, you know, years of research. Because you have to remember, scientists also thought the world was flat. They also thought the atom was the smallest thing ever. And, you know, there was a lot of things science thought they knew a long time ago that was, like, you know, proven wrong because of people with open minds.
Yes.
And thinking about different possibilities that people probably thought that they were crazy. Shit, back then they would hang you. Right.
For that's how uncomfortable people were with ideas that weren't tangible.
Yeah. So it's just like, how can you possibly? Yes, we do know more than they used to, but that doesn't mean we know at all.
It's so funny. I mean, God is probably the biggest intangible idea that really got a foothold.
Right? Exactly. But again, I think it was the idea, mm-hmm. well, with the whole God, I think that was a way of, oh, let's take this mm-hmm. and use it to control people.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And it's gotten convoluted and nobody, I mean, look at how, you're right. Mm-hmm. Look at how people are so indoctrinated in the thought of yeah. God and earth and heaven and doing good and gays are bad and blah, 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 blah.
They have all these firewalls against the virus of truth because yeah. it's like you are bad. You're detected if you're like, yeah. Do you think it might be another way?
No, that's like, the no, devil
get
talking.
Her out. Get her out.
That's the devil yeah. talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's Joan of Arc her.
Yeah, let's just Joan of Arc.
Poor Joan. I do feel for Joan.
I'm sorry, Joan. You really tried to stand Joan, up for what you believed in.
You were a woman ahead of your time.
They were not having it.
They were. Oh, they were having it until they, you know, they were done winning.
Okay, that's true.
They
that's
were like,
true.
This crazy bitch is getting us winning, and now we have to tame the crazy bitch because yeah. she actually did what she said, so now she might have power.
Yeah, she's so, getting really confident in a way I find unappealing.
Burn her at the stake.
Let's just kill her.
And this is like a weird metaphor to, I think, people who just believe science. Mm-hmm. You burn people at the stake. Yeah. When they don't agree with you, and there goes mm-hmm. ideas, and there goes something that the whole point is to find the truth, yeah. and there it goes because you don't want to hear it.
Yes.
So
yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So this possibility that this could be something from I mean, God, we're just like a tiny grain of patooey in space.
A tiny grain of pizza.
How do we, come on. Of course sometimes maybe somebody else's.
Oh my God. Ego is probably, that should be our common enemy in the human world we have here.
I think it is.
It was important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through a few of them because we don't need to talk about everyone. I mean, the idea is that he had multiple. Let's see.
Sorry.
So as scientists, you're welcome here as yourself.
Start over.
So propelled by gases.
Hey, I gave you a good. I gave you a good segue.
Thanks for always being supportive.
Always, even if I just do it God subconsciously.
It. Your body knows what's yeah. needed.
She needs gas. Go.
So scientists are arguing about even including language in the discussion or debate that allows speculation on extraterrestrial intentions. Dr. Loeb explained why all possibilities should be considered, including intelligence beyond Earth.
Yes. Yes, queen.
I know. He said, I do not view the possibility of a technological civilization as speculative for two reasons. The first is that we exist, which is what I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Our existence is a valid reason to wonder if there's other intelligent life because it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is that at least a quarter of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy have a planet like Earth with surface conditions that are very similar to Earth. And the chemistry of life as we know it could develop.
Yeah.
If you roll the dice so many times and there are tens of billions of stars in the Milky Way, it's quite likely we're not alone.
Yeah. And as we know how life surfaces,
yeah.
there's also ways that life can surface that we don't know about.
That's true. Yeah. He's just using yeah. the example of other Earth types of planets,
right.
but you're completely right.
Yeah.
Just on that one premise that there are planets like Earth that could sustain life like Earth. But yeah, there are other kinds of life possibly.
Yeah, that we just haven't studied, obviously.
Yeah, that don't need high oxygen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what about those things that are just in our ocean alone?
Yes, yeah.
At the very bottom of the ocean, how mm-hmm. the hell does something live in something with so much pressure? How do they not get crushed? And yet, mm-hmm. it happens. So how do we know that's
right.
not on
Right, life didn't just happen once on Earth. It happened right. over and over and over again.
In different ways.
Yeah, in different
and
ways.
And it evolved in different ways uh-huh. to accommodate the atmosphere.
So yeah, there is life out there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so that Oumuamua came from another, no, it came from, what did he say? Not ours, it was came from outside of our solar system, but within our Milky Way galaxy, likely.
Mm.
And if it came from another civilization, the civilization could be dead by now. He said, because we don't take good care of our planet. So if another planet's like our planet, he said, imagine another history in which the Nazis have a nuclear weapon and the Second World War ends differently.
Yeah.
You can imagine a civilization that develops technology like that, which would lead to its own destruction.
Right.
Which we could have done and might do.
And could have. And we just jumped to another parallel.
Oh, well, yes, that's true. Tie it in.
It
yes.
didn't happen.
He said, it's possible that the civilization is not alive anymore, but it did send out a spacecraft. We ourselves sent out Voyager 1 and Voyager 2.
Yes.
I always think, because I'm a big Star Trek person, because what it was a Verger, like one of the original Star Trek movies had like V'ger. I think that was it. And they're just like, who's V'ger? And then it turned out to be Voyager, and some of the letters were like knocked off or something.
Shit.
Oh my God, it was.
It's V'ger. No.
I can't remember. I'll have to rewatch that. The point is that this is the very first object we found from outside the solar system. Very similar to when I walk on the beach with my daughter, this is Dr. Loeb, and look at the seashells that are swept ashore. Every now and then we find an object of artificial origin. And this could be a message in a bottle, and we should be open-minded.
Oh, so right. We
put this sentence. So they added that in the paper. He and another colleague wrote. It was Professor Loeb and Shmuel Bialy, who they suggested that the cigar-shaped object which passed through the solar system, and that was late 2017, early 2018, could have been a discarded light sail of extraterrestrial origin or perhaps sent here on purpose. The theory was greeted with skepticism. And here's where I like how he talks about the importance of keeping open-minded. And he said, so his article was written, and then conversations with his colleagues included this apprehension about making their thoughts public, though they were open-minded in discussions about the possibility of extraterrestrial life. He said, I don't understand that. After all, academic tenure is intended to give scientists the freedom to take risks without having to worry about their jobs. Unfortunately, most scientists achieve tenure and go on tending to their image.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's just right? so true. It just feels good to have this top scientist from Harvard.
Say it.
Yeah, just say it out loud. Like, get to the substance of what we're here to do.
Yeah.
Which is to investigate the world from our various parts of it.
Right. Instead of being, I'm a scientist.
I'm a personality now. It's like, no, be a scientist.
Be a scientist. Do what your job is supposed to. Even if it goes into uncomfortable areas, that's the whole thing.
Yes, that's the whole thing. He said, if you're not ready to find exceptional things, you won't discover them. Of course, every argument needs to be based on evidence, but if the evidence points to an anomaly, we need to talk about an anomaly.
Yes.
Imagine if cavemen had been shown the smartphone you're using to record
me.
He said, what would they have thought about this special rock?
A witch!
I know. What does it mean? And then he says, now imagine that Oumuamua is the iPhone and we're the cavemen.
Yes.
Imagine scientists who are considered the visionaries of reason among the cavemen looking at the device and saying, no, it's just a rock, a special rock, but a rock. Where do you come off claiming it's not a rock?
Yes, right.
And that's
like, who is this guy?
Dr. Loeb. He's one of the head astronomers from Harvard, at least then.
I'm officially a Dr. Loeb groupie.
I know. And if you can't look at an item and going, ooh, that's unfamiliar.
Right.
We're like, no. Let's make it familiar.
Yes. Let's put it in the box that we know.
Yeah. Here are
even
three
options. Even though it doesn't fit.
No, that's what, God, I would do so awful sometimes on the multiple choice test.
Yeah.
Because they'd offer the three choices and I'd be like, well, B's not entirely wrong because if this happens,
right.
and C's probably the closest, I think that's what you're looking
for.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't think it's exactly the right answer because they're like, oh my God, just pick a fucking choice.
I know.
I'm like, but I don't feel like any of the choices are really the proper answer.
Or it doesn't fit quite right, but okay, I'll shove this circle in this box.
I know what you're looking for, RH positive teacher, but I really think. Yeah.
Do you see this little faint triangle on my head? It means I'm fucking smarter than you, you human scum.
The sooner you can accept that, the better off we'll all be. No need to call my mom into this conversation.
She doesn't have the triangle on her head.
She doesn't get it.
she's got more of what looks like horns.
Very sharp.
You don't want that chick attacking you.
Oh, I know. It's funny. There's a slight aside, but when he's interviewed by the New Yorker writer,
yeah,
and the New Yorker writer asks him, have your religious beliefs or beliefs about God changed in any way in the time you've been studying astronomy? He said, I'm not religious. Why would you make that assumption? And I was like, ooh, Dr. Loeb getting a little upset.
Oh, my. They pressed the button.
Well, and the writer, too, he's like, I didn't. I was wondering if your thoughts had changed one way or the other.
Oh.
And then Dr. Loeb is like, first of all, it depends on what you mean by God. And it's just like, oh.
Shit. Trigger issue.
I know. Can fight, we make a movie out of this?
Hold on. Let me pop some popcorn.
I know.
I predict he's going to punch out the reporter in 5, 4.
Three. Oh, he did it on three.
Dr. Loeb.
Okay, yeah, that's basically it. There's so much more detailed information.
So interesting.
And he was writing his own papers and articles. And then he participated in, right, in a number of these really good interviews, like willing to talk about this issue. And this is about UFOs and astronomy and extraterrestrial life.
Yeah.
But this approach is so crucial to everything.
It really is. We are closing ourselves off to so much.
Yes.
If we just kind of poo-poo,
yeah,
have aliens talk to us? They probably could have, but we don't want to listen.
Yes.
Like the whole, like, you know, even just, you know, everyone wants to poo-poo a crop circle, but there are legit crop circles out there.
It raises those questions.
Why aren't we looking into that?
It's like they were very big lawnmowers. Let's just let it go.
Right. It's a guy with a 2x4 that somehow did it in the middle of the night with nobody noticing. And there's also radiation in each of the.
I know.
How?
Stop it with the radiation that just messes up the first.
Yeah,
conclusion.
Right. It won't fit into the box.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's weird because this topic of opening your mind up, kind of plays into what I'm going to talk about today. So what I'm going to talk about today was actually recommended for me on TikTok, and it was on at M Stokarski, E-M-S-T-O-K-A-R-S-K-I, if you guys want to follow her. It was on her account, but it was referred to us by a listener, and her at is Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, dot Pascal, P-A-S-C-A-L-E. It's not our Alicia.
Yeah.
But she listens to our show and she tagged us on this particular subject.
That's wonderful.
And I was like, what? I'd never heard of this.
Yeah.
So thank you, Alicia. So I looked into it and my sources are medium.com by Tomi Tripped and the CIA.gov. That's correct. So we've talked about all the time what our brain, if accessed, could possibly accomplish. This, I'm talking about something called the gateway experience. The gateway experience, like what if I told you, like, you know, we talked about accomplishing, like maybe we could travel through different dimensions. Maybe we could gain super abilities, like psychic abilities, and maybe that's how some people are. They could just access that part of the brain. And maybe some people can see ghosts because they gained info from the universe, signs, intuition. But what if I told you that they've already proven this?
No.
Since 1983.
Okay.
And B, the CIA did an extensive study proving that it works. And C, you, me, anybody can access the gateway process. Would you shit yourself if I told you that?
I'm shitting myself right now.
Okay, but you have to sit on it because I got to tell the story.
I'm not going anywhere.
So you might get a rash later. Don't blame me. So, okay, what is the gateway process? So we kind of already know the relationship between the right brain and the left brain, right? Mm-hmm. The right brain gets it. Left brain goes, okay, nope, this is it. And it's the software. The left brain is the software to reduce input from the right hemisphere to something we can understand in verbal symbols and concepts and whatever. So, like, I picture the right brain being like, wow, look at all these things. And the left brain going, okay, no, no.
Yes.
Like, let's have a party. And the left brain is the bouncer.
Right? Yes. Okay. Right? We're going to keep this in order.
Right.
Like, more the merrier.
Yes.
No, no, no.
But no, we don't want the cops to come. So yeah. Drug dealer. No, we don't want you here. We don't want you. You can come in.
Uh-huh.
So it really cuts to so we could understand it in the way that we've been built as human beings. Now, the gateway process is just a different part of all kinds of things to kind of alter your consciousness. And we already know about how to alter our state of consciousness, right? And it's all, you know, one way to alter your consciousness is basically to suppress the left brain a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because it's too loud. It stops this is what stops you from meditating. It stops you from visualizing because the left brain is going, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Uh-huh.
No, that can't happen. No, you can't be a rich person because this is where you come from. And
play it safe.
Right.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So one way to alter consciousness is to basically put the left brain in check.
Okay.
Now, and this document that the CIA did, they did this report on the gateway. It was actually more than the gateway. It showed how we can alter different consciousness. The CIA wrote this. It's 29 pages. I'll put the link up. I haven't read through all of it, but it is mind-blowing because basically when you go through this document, the government believes this.
I mean, I'm sure they want to use it for evil, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's true.
Definitely. And you're right. Mm-hmm. Because the reason they actually examine this, I mean, they did the whole remote viewing. So they believe.
Yeah, exactly. They see that it's worthy of investigation.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And of course, it was, is this true? They examined it because they wanted to know if this process was real. B, how can we get in on this?
Yes.
Because we can't have fucking nothing nice with the government. And oh my God, who knows about this? Do the Russians know about this? Do the Chinese know about this?
Uh-huh.
That's when, yeah. But so before they went into it, they sent off a guy who wrote this 29 page with full, I mean, it's worth a read.
Okay.
And like examining it, and it gets really super sciencey, but I'm going to try and break it down. So first he says, okay, let's first talk about how all these different methods on how we suppress the left hemisphere.
Uh-huh.
One is hypnosis, right? And that hypnosis is basically putting the left brain to sleep to kind of access all
and asking the right brain what really happened.
Exactly. Like, okay, we fucking put the left brain in another room. Let's go through everything that you know, fanciful
Mom went
or not.
To the store, what really went down.
Right. Uh-huh. So that way there's no filter from the left brain or the left brain going, no, that was bullshit. Remember, that's not what happened.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, right.
You're wrong. You're remembering wrong. Yeah.
Transcendental meditation is to bore the left hemisphere.
Yeah.
That's why you listen to different things. You listen to your breathing. You're boring the left hemisphere.
Oh.
That's why it's telling you to focus on breathing, focus on a sound. Mm-hmm. So your left brain is like, okay, we're focused on the sound.
Yeah.
Now the right brain can sneak out
and
be open. And then there's also the biofeedback where you convince the left hemisphere that whatever it is true, visualization.
Mm-hmm.
So having the left brain convince the right brain that what it's picturing is real and is happening, therefore inducing a feeling in the right hemisphere. Now both brains, both hemisphere believe that it's happening.
Okay.
And now it will happen.
Uh-huh.
Right? So anyways, so the gateway process involves all these different methods. It's a training system designed to bring enhanced strength, focus, and coherence to the amplitude and frequency of the brainwave output. This is from the CIA document, between the left and right hemisphere so as to alter consciousness. But the thing that's different about the gateway process is now you're moving from your physical to out, meaning you are now going to escape the restrictions of time and space.
So, I mean, it seems like an acknowledgement that the body is just housing this energy.
This energy. Correct. So the participant of the gateway process gains access to the various levels of intuitive knowledge the universe offers, aka you are now tapping into the universal consciousness. They get into that.
I want to do that.
You can. And I'll tell you how. you have to pay for it. So it's basically this training program to interact with non-physical parts of reality.
Okay.
So that's another surprising thing, is not only can we do it, but the CIA acknowledges it like not a thing, as if they've known it all along, right? Okay. AKA, we have superpowers. So what is the Gateway Experience? It was created by Robert Monroe. He's the founder of the Monroe Institute, the TMI.
No, I talked about him a couple of episodes ago.
Right, yeah. Robert Monroe. He's renowned for consciousness studies, right? Mm-hmm. The out-of-body experience.
Yes, that's what it was.
Right. Again, it's this technique of, it's called Gateway because it's the learning technique that shows you how powerful your consciousness is. And it's named Gateway for the hidden parts of reality that we don't see, or some people don't acknowledge exist. And that's why the government was interested in it. And it's different because it uses something called hemi-sync technique, which is defined by this trainer of the Monroe Institute, Melissa Yeager, as a state of consciousness defined when the EEG patterns of both hemispheres are simultaneously equal in amplitude and frequency, basically getting them to work together, which people can do by themselves.
So getting them in sync.
In sync. Kind of. Yeah. So it's called, it's hemi-sync. Yeah.
Oh, is that what they call it? Hemi-sync.
Hemi-sync.
Oh,
Hemisphere synchronization.
Yeah. Oh, there's that word again.
Yeah, right. Sync. But like used in the proper way.
Yes.
They said it's rare for just a regular old Joe to be able to do it. And if they can, it's really for a short amount of time. To show an example of that, somebody they studied with like 20 years of training in Zen and meditation could establish hemi-sync at will and sustain it for over 15 minutes.
And what were they doing exactly? What was the experience being in hemi-sync?
So, I'll get into that. So the hemi-sync... the Monroe developed this kind of technique in audio to induce and sustain hemi-sync. It's like a laser focus. And it's matching brain waves, amplitudes. They're talking frequency, amplitudes. Basically, what we're saying, you are now using both of your brain to tune in to a certain TV station. Okay.
To get the signal clear,
right,
more or less.
To get the signal clear. And this chick actually puts in a very, of what the hemi-sync does. It's the lamp versus laser metaphor. Human mind in a natural state is like an ordinary lamp. It expends energy in the form of both heat and light, but it's chaotic, incoherent way, it diffuses the energy the farther you go out. It's very limited.
Yeah.
So for you to focus on something, you almost have to kind of like, and it's still not quite focused. The laser metaphor and what hemi-sync does is now your energy is not spread out. It's laser focus. And it can, and the mind can bring itself into synchronization with sophisticated and kind of, you know, different, some of it was binaural beats. And what you can do is, not only are you laser focused, you can accelerate your focus at a higher vibrational level. And when you do that, you're now going outside of yourself and tapping into the consciousness of the universe.
But you can control your path better.
Yes, you can control your path better, but you're outside of it now. And it comes in the form of symbols. Remember DMT?
Yes.
That people started seeing symbols. Yeah. You get flashes of intuition. And at some point, you will straight up see visual and hear things. Now, what these things are.
Do people describe it?
Yes. So they do describe it. But the paper goes on to explain about, you know, frequency, blah, blah, blah. And how everyone thinks about solid. And that they say all matter is not solid. It's just energy vibrating in a certain frequency range. And that the point is that the entire human being, brain, consciousness and all is like is like the universe that's surrounding him. Nothing more or less than an extraordinarily complex system of energy fields. So like this table is not really solid. If you look at it really closely, it's a bunch of atoms
in
an energy grid. So that's what they're saying, like to understand how this kind of works.
I mean, that's why you like heat.
Right.
Or whatever, like temperatures will change.
Because you're changing the energy vibration. Yeah, so things turn
into a liquid as the...
So I think that's
spread apart, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why where people stop, because when things aren't tangible, they think it's not real.
Yes.
But it's not. It's just right now we can't access that energy level because our brain, we don't know how to do that. So
but in what we have known how to do along the way, we teach out of it. Like it's, you can teach people to suppress themselves.
And it happens, I mean, everywhere around us, you know, right? Like when you watch the news, it kind of tells you what to think. People don't want to think that. But sometimes when you watch TV and it's one left side, right side, you watch Fox News all the time. Eventually, that's what you think you believe, but you're not. You're being told that. And it fits you into like a nice little box and you can't get out of it. And it happens all the time with people we meet. It happens all the time with shit we read. We think this is it.
Which is so funny. So like as a society, if these certain leaders who wanted to manipulate, control, whatever, for their best interests, had convinced us as a society we needed to cut off our arms.
Mm-hmm. They probably could.
And it's like, well, but they do so much. Like, no, it means you're associated with the devil, or you're stupid, or you're, you know, whatever.
I mean, and that's an extreme example, but that's exactly what it is.
But I mean, I wonder if that's religion. Really extreme. Like, how much have we given up? Like, I don't even know how much.
Right.
Bigger than arms.
I mean, I think we've given up a lot just in our brain function, what our brain can do. We use so little of it.
Yeah.
And we were made to believe not that we couldn't use.
Yeah, because we're using it to create. Yeah, we're...
Right?
Much of our brain is used as barriers and walls now.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but religion was a whole, like a big part of that. They didn't want these people to have ideas of their own.
No, definitely. Right?
No, you don't get to have ideas of your own. And there's a lot of things that distract you from openly thinking. For example, and I'm not saying this is an example for everybody. It's not a hard and fast rule. But, you know, a lot of these people, a lot of the kids that we coming out of school right now, everybody goes to college. Everybody goes to college. Everybody goes to college, which is not always perfect for everybody. And not only that, but college is so expensive. And then, so you get on the rat race of trying to pay your bills and your mortgage and your student loan. You have zero time to expand your mind, have ideas, because you are in the fucking hamster wheel the minute you get out of college. And I'm not saying that's coincidental. I'm saying I think that's on purpose.
Well, you make college the one valued form of education, and then make it available only to the 1%.
Yeah.
So the 1% is the one valuable decision making.
I don't even think you even make it to the 1%. I think they say, like, everybody get on it so they can be in debt immediately.
Yeah, that would be another aspect of
you know
it.
That's way of controlling. That's a way of not giving you any time to expand your mind at all. I don't have fucking time to talk about that, you know, take this course. I have bills to pay. I gotta get on the fucking hamster wheel.
Yeah,
gotta buy a house. Success means a house. What comes with a house? A fucking mortgage. Now you're on the fucking rat race for 30 years.
Like a religion, if you're in default, are you in default on your student loan? Like, that's a character flaw. And oh god, because no, I take great pride in paying. Like, how much are you paying? Well, $450 a month. How much do you make? Well, I'm a humanities major.
And also the statuses, right? The statuses are a way the statuses are a way to control us, where we're not,
turn us on each other though, with our buy-in to what the, you know, person at the top is saying.
Exactly.
Like, no, I am good for paying my excessive debt, and you are bad for going, screw that.
And you're a bum. And oh, like, you know, like on TikTok, we get a lot of, oh, is that a Samsung phone? Like, yeah, it is. Somebody say, did you record this on a potato? I said, yes, I did. And it charges and it holds its, you know, battery. Like,
good. And that should always be the answer, like making fun.
Because it's so, it just kind of dummies people down to this, like, very superficial, minute, like trying to be what?
It's the crazy brand loyalty.
Brand loyalty is insane. Outside of
when there's an actual technological benefit. Yeah. Like Apple, they are the best fucking marketers ever.
Oh, boy.
Now, they did have some advantages in the beginning with video, but it's crazy how many people
are brand loyal.
Oh, I just love Apple. So you just love spending $2,000 more.
For something that's slightly better?
Or not better.
Not better.
Because now the video is not better. The graphic cards are not better. Right. So
yeah.
It's so nuts.
There's so many things that we live around to hold us into this box that we know we don't understand. That A, we're bigger than that.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're beyond this physical material uh-huh. shit. There's so much already that when you start talking about possibilities like tapping into the universal, that's, and people go, ah, bullshit. I think it's built in. I think it's built in because what happens to the powers that be if all of us don't care about the superficial shit right now? What if all of us decided we could be bigger and better and people strive to be a better, they would be fucking screwed.
Right, right. All the politicians suddenly have no power. Apple suddenly cost $150. And,
right.
You know, like,
because nobody gave a shit what phone they had.
We have the power. The founding fathers yeah. actually had the right idea, even though they
yeah, eventually get corrupt. Problems.
But, you know, the we the people idea, that's where it all is.
I know. And the government knows it. They yeah. went into, you should read the paper.
I'm going to.
Because it was like, if somebody else had said this, oh, uh-huh. this is woo-woo bullshit. But this is the government doing an actual research study. And they're like, oh, yeah. So anyways, they even call the universal consciousness
yeah.
the absolute with a capital A.
Oh.
Like God. But they call it the absolute.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. Can you send me a link to it?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
So contrary to what everyone knows, it may not be the brain that produces consciousness, but rather consciousness that creates the appearance of the brain. Mm-hmm. An entirely different view. It's kind of like no longer material. It's energy affecting energy. And there is unseen energy around us.
Yeah.
Our consciousness is plugged into a very specific energy range. And because we're attuned to this specific energy range, mm-hmm. our consciousness brings forth the world we know and love.
Yeah.
And if it's attuned to a different energy range, you would bring forth a different world.
Oh, yeah.
And this can come in like when they say visualization.
Yes.
If you are in this mindset of, oh, I'm always going to be here, my family, we've always been poor, that's kind of where you stay mm-hmm. because that's what radio station you're yeah. putting it on, right? And they're saying that, and then they go into about how the world is a hologram. And anything you can or ever will see is a construct of what you're thinking.
Perception.
And then, so anyways, they go into that and it's, I mean, this is me trying to like make it really short
concise,
and sweet.
Yeah.
But it's 29 pages of mind-blowing shit.
That's
yeah.
what it should be called in caps.
Right. This is the 29-page report of mind-blowing shit.
MBS.
Yeah. So like I said, but back to tapping into the universal consciousness, mm-hmm. they, as the CIA calls it, the absolute is a conscious energy in infinity without boundaries. Mm. It occupies every dimension to include time, space dimension in which we have our physical existence, but we can't perceive it. So you can enhance this ability to pass time and space if you achieve. They say it's better if you achieve an out-of-body experience first.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's an extremely, it says it will enhance and accelerate this kind of interfacing with dimensions beyond time and space construct.
God, there's so many levels to this.
There is. Like you expand your consciousness quicker if you have an out-of-body experiences. Okay. So we've talked about out-of-body experiences. And at this point, you are now, without your physical uh-huh. tether, freely to move about this terrestrial sphere for information acquisition
uh-huh.
or into other dimensions that we don't see. And perhaps, and this is in the CIA document,
yeah.
interact with other forms of consciousness within the universe.
Oh, God.
So our, like, again, we can't see past our frequency, right? Uh-huh. They keep every, so once you break through the walls, you can start to see what's on the other side. The more walls you break through, the more access you have, the more you see the reality on the whole. And you can gain access, like I said, to information, sentient beings, and alien dimensions.
Like, how did the CIA, what tests are they conducting?
They had somebody actually do the gateway process.
Through the Monroe Institute? Mm-hmm,
to the Monroe Institute.
Like, what got them there? Like, I'm so fascinated.
Because it probably drew attention. I mean, like, as everything probably draws attention when they think that
as maybe, he started publishing on it, maybe they said, okay, let's send an agent, see what it's about.
Right. And this was classified information up until recently.
Okay.
So this has been declassified. So yeah, they probably heard of it. I think the government knows every time something that could possibly enlighten people is happening, they want in on it. What the fuck is that? How can we use it for ourselves?
Yeah.
How can we suppress it from the general public?
Yes.
We don't want them knowing about this. Right? And that's why, again, when you watch TV, people who believe in other things beyond the general agreed upon construct are labeled as crazy town.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, woo woo hippie guy that's talking about that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, the Neil deGrasse telling people that it's not science, so it can't be. Well, it turns out the CIA believes in all this shit.
Well, and science is just more than you realize, even.
Right. But like they're saying,
not you meaning him.
Right. But what we are getting as a people is that this is what's right. Yes. What we tell you, not this woo-woo shit.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it turns out the woo-woo shit, they're all in on it whenever it fucking shows up. God. So leaving our physical bodies, right, and using this gateway process, and the gateway process has developed a series of tapes. 1983, people. Or MP3s now.
We have cassette tapes. It hasn't even been digitized.
Tape one. Oh, no, it has been.
Okay.
But this is from 1983 report. So they have a series of tapes that greatly enhance and accelerate this process.
Okay.
These techniques help you manipulate the high energy states that can be achieved if you practice over a period of time. The amount of time to reach this advanced energy state and fully exploit the techniques varies from individual to individual. Uh-huh. Right? So one of the methods, like I said, HemiSync, uses different tones, binaural beats that resonate in the brain to help you get to the altered state of consciousness and the having your focus from lamp to laser.
Yes.
And it's called, one of the ways that they do it is a technique that Monroe calls an energy conservation box. So you take, it's an imaginary visualization exercise where you envision a solid box with a heavy lid. And you slowly, with intention, put all your shit in there so you don't think about it anymore.
Oh, all that allows you to free yourself of that clutter.
Right. So, okay, I'm, you know, so-and-so at work was bothering me today. Put it in the box.
Yeah.
My fucking, you know, that asshole guy. That, yeah. Put it in the box. Put all your shit in there. Even mundane shit, like your to-do list, put it in there. I do the blackboard method where I write down all my problems and I visualize me erasing them with an eraser.
Oh.
So whatever works for
that
you.
That would stress me a little bit, like they were going away. I think the box would make me feel like, okay, they're still there. I can deal with it later.
Well, so basically...
I mean, I like the idea of the blackboard.
But whatever works for you, probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
maybe
every
like
person.
Just like stepping into another room. So all my problems are my furniture in this room.
Exactly.
And I'm going to step into the room with no furniture.
Yeah, the idea is to get them out of your conscious.
So you're not going, okay, I'm trying to meditate. Oh my God, I got to wash the dishes.
Yes.
Right? So you just go into another room mentally in your head.
Yeah.
So whatever works, but that's what they have is this box. Method where for me it's the blackboard method.
Yes.
So once you can raise your frequency, you can now resonate and match the energy that is the universal energy, and they help you with doing that. Intention helps. So you have to leave doubts, you have to leave fears along with your bullshit, because it will hinder your progress.
Definitely. That's like manifesting.
Right. So a strong and pure intention kind of points you to the goal. So at that point, you're lasering in your focus, your awareness follows. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you know you've reached it? This is where it gets fucking crazy. It's very DMT. Like when you take DMT, many report the feeling of vibration with intensity, like being in a rocket ship held together by duct tape. Like just
that vibration. They were talking about it with out of body experiences in general.
You feel you hear or feel a loud, furious vibration. Some people hear a high pitched kind of like that, that gets louder and louder. Some people, all kinds of strange sounds, growling, banging are common, or sensing a presence in the room.
Oh, man.
Now, the reason that you have to know this before going in is you want to be intellectually prepared to react to possible encounters with intelligent, non-corporeal energy forms when you break through time and space boundaries. Because this, when you get scared, you're out of it. So it you have to prepare so you won't jump out of your altered state. It's, again, if you start seeing, okay, I'm feeling vibration, I'm seeing, I'm sensing somebody here with me, it's just little arrows saying you're going in the right direction.
Okay.
Now, what happens when you finally break through? When you break through and interact with whatever the hell you're going to interact with, and again, this is all in the CIA documents, it gives you... it's basically all these little things to tap into this universal intelligence. And what happens is when you come back to what we perceive as reality, you're clearer and you're knowing that you know instead of believe, and you can see instead of imagine. And some people who've done it, they're saying it's nothing quite, there's nothing quite like it. And this is how I'm going to end it. Life becomes magical and death becomes a fantasy.
Oh.
Crazy, right?
Yes, but really in a fascinating way.
Such a fascinating way. And again, it ties into, like, we always want to know what ghosts are. And how do we know we're not seeing a different frequency? How do we know we're not tapping into a different universe accidentally?
I know. I found the document just so you don't have to.
Oh, good. So yeah, 29 pages of mind-blowing shit, and they draw it and whatever.
Department of the Army. I mean, CIA.
It's a CIA.
On the letterhead, Department of the Army.
Yeah.
U.S. Army Intelligence Security Command. This is so...
And he breaks down, like, first, what consciousness is, what we're trying to do, what the gateway does.
Yeah.
And by the way, we can access this gateway. It's like $350.
Is that through the Monroe Institute?
Yes, it's through the Monroe Institute, which I'm in. I kind of want it. I was looking online. And again, you guys, if you want to know more about this, I've given a very simplified version.
Yeah, an introduction.
If you want to blow your mind, read this document and also look up some videos on YouTube. I might post a link. This could possibly be a
blog. I just want to make sure the Monroe Institute is... reliable and not going to alter us in some way. But I love the idea, like, if they're reliable guides, I really, really want to do this too.
Since 1974, a lot of people have done it. The military says it works. I mean, I don't know what more.
Hopefully the military isn't the one controlling it now.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Because I think they just, I think one of the reasons... they were examining to see how they could use it for their own purposes.
Yeah.
But also, it's one of those things that's so out there, they trust that most people are going to be like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, MonroeInstitute.org. I mean, you are more than your physical body. They have a thing there. It says, our purpose, start your journey, immerse yourself in the community, the home, the take home the power of binaural beats. I mean, it's all in there. Website, explore the non-physical, gain a greater self-awareness, expand your compassion. Honestly, if this,
where are they located,
really works,
I'll look it up.
Monroe Institute, looks like they're located In Virginia.
Faber, that's where PETA's located.
Faber, Virginia. So, yeah. I kind of want to buy it. I do. I really do. Oh, fuck. The residential program is 5 days and six nights. That
Which
one
is that?
$2,195.
That'd be the way to go, though.
To get.
Probably. I might be crazy at the end of day three.
You have
candy?
The fear.
Can you eat candy there? Like, sure, do they have vending machines?
Why wouldn't
they feed you?
I'm sure they would feed you.
No, well, no, I know they feed us. Do they feed us?
I don't think it has anything to do with diet.
But
I
diet think, has so much to do with our mental and physical health. Like,
yeah, but I don't think
wonder.
5 days and six nights is enough to change the chemical.
They're going to be like, have Snicker bars.
Yeah, they don't, whatever. Out of body experience, beginner's journey, online courses. That's what I was looking at. There's regional workshops.
Yeah, the CIA has a paper, Monroe Institute of Applied Scientists, 16 pages of talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just talking about what they do, though.
So what?
As far as
what?
I can see.
What do you think? What do you like? I know you have your reservations.
Oh no! It's my questions would be like right now. I want to know who funds them. I want to know who, like, if they have a board, who's on that board, and what they're representing. Like,
so do you think that they're giving you this information to manipulate?
No, not necessarily. No, I don't have any conclusion. I have only questions.
Yeah, like who funds?
Like, yeah,
them?
Who like who? Yeah, I mean, maybe it really is an institute that researches and promotes only this thing that's been described.
I think before the gateway process, they did other things in, like, that was their specialty.
Yeah.
Like you said, like the out of body. He is, the Monroe Institute specializes in kind of this, like, they're almost like a yoga university, like a meditation. Almost kind of like if you go to those yoga retreats.
Too. Like, that's what I want the conclusion to be.
Right.
And I hope it is. But those are the questions. Those are the questions I have right now. Like, I want to know who funds them and who represents. If they have a board, like, who's on the board? Like, I just want to know.
I think that's why they're charging people.
I mean, it's a nonprofit, it looks like.
But yeah, they make their money off the courses. So it's actually
money that way.
People may be funding it.
Possibly.
Right.
Like, that's my question. Like, where does all the funding come from?
To do all their studies and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, since 1974, again, with the CIA kind of, this could easily be overlooked as one of those, like, oh, like, self-help go-tos, like, you know, like they always have. But the fact, for me, the fact that the CIA kind of, like, really looked into this and actually had people go there and do the gateway process.
Yeah, there was someone believing.
Startling. The government believed it. So they were like, okay, let's do this and see what happens. See what we could use it for. And who knows if they're using it. Oh, God, that gets me into another thing, but that's a whole other topic for later.
That at the Monroe Institute?
No, about how the government is using frequency to mind control.
Oh my God.
That's a whole other thing. And that's another, from another CIA document as well.
I want it to be true because I want to go there.
So what? So if the funding came from?
The funding comes from whose?
Like, you mean if, like, the government is funding it? You're like
whoa. The government or certain corporations or, you know, just like on university campuses.
So what? So my question would be if, like, okay, so say a corporation is funding it.
Yeah.
What would be their point?
Yeah, that would be the question that would be partly answered. Which corporation, like, what their goals are.
So you're thinking that maybe if somebody did the gateway process, that it's a way of what? Like, I feel like...
No, nothing. I have absolutely no answers. Like, I have no conclusions on any of it.
No, I know,
questions.
But why does it matter?
Well, because in other areas where corporations or governments fund research or projects, there's then the possibility for built-in bias.
Right. So,
and the use of that information.
So what would be the built-in bias?
Well, it depends on where the money's coming from. Like, that's the missing piece. Like, if the money's coming from the government and the government is using it in this way, or the money's coming from I find out who's funding them, and Apple Computers, one of the Apple products, is funding them.
Right.
Then I would want to know how Apple is using it to see what if there's conflict of interest or
right.
Like that's what I would be chasing down. Like right now, it just would be a question leading to a question.
But for me, it's like
answers and questions. I guess
I'm looking at it and is like, well, what would they do it for?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like if it was an Apple Corporation and they're funding this so people can like enhance their, like how would that be of an advantage, I guess?
Yeah, it would depend on what they're using it for. Because we don't know all the applications of it. That's another question.
That's true. Because we don't know what they're trying to teach.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, what would they, that would actually, well, from what we've just read from the document, that would be a hindrance because now you're telling people to think on their own.
Yeah, that would be a surprise.
If it were Apple,
it's probably not to have people think on their own.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's what I was thinking. Because if there was somebody that was backing it up that had a bias, right? Or like they were trying to, not manipulate, but you know what I mean? If they had a certain way of doing it.
Yeah.
I guess the end goal would be, okay, so but people have an, but how would they use that, I guess, is
that's
what I'm
the
saying.
Question. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, what, who's funding it? Because where the money comes from tells a lot about the organization itself. And it could be that people finance it individually. Maybe all the money for their budget comes from the people who experience the program. Like, that's a possibility, too.
Yeah. No, I'm just...
But there's also the possibility that it's funded by organizations that want to use it.
Right. But how would they use somebody... I guess that's my question. How would they use this kind of eye-opening, tapping into different beings?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what I'm going. So this, the end point is for people to like open their minds to different kind of like
supposed dimensions.
Well,
that's what they're saying. And if everything they're saying is in fact what drives them, then it would be more likely for them to be funded by open-minded people, you know, people wanting to have that experience.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, this is really good information raised, but I don't know.
Right. If that's what they're coming from.
Yeah,
I just
don't know yet. Like, I'm not...
No, I'm not.
I feel like I don't trust them. I just feel like I want to have those questions answered before I trust them.
And I do too. So that's why I'm kind of going on your train of thought. So if it was, how would they use it? That's my thing. Like, but how? How would they use it?
It would mean there's more information than what they've delivered so far. Assuming that what you've delivered is everything. There might be something more.
Got it. Okay, I understand now. Because I'm like, well, how could they use that? But yes.
That's the question.
But it's what you're being presented with.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's just like religion.
Right, totally. Like, what
were the good intentions? It's like, yeah, maybe.
The good intentions, right. But it's interesting to note, right? Like, because also... you're right. If this is an actual thing,
I would love to experience.
I mean, wouldn't this be so good for for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you could teach a child from the get-go how to tap into
that, they have these abilities.
I mean,
but even
think of the possibilities.
Critical thinking itself is such an empowered state of being.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
To know that just because a person says something
doesn't mean it's true. Yeah, you're right.
Because then you don't believe
everything that's being presented to you.
Drawn about yourself. If people say, you're stupid, and you're like, oh, I'm stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, he said I'm stupid. What's his motivation?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. It has nothing to do with me.
You're right. You're right. See? And I was just thinking that too. I was like, oh, you're right. Because it's only what we're reading right now. We don't really know.
But it raises really cool issues.
Cool issues.
Want that to be the case because
I want that
go
to
do
be
it.
The thing. And then there's all kinds of like different things on YouTube about binaural beats I love all that stuff, that tapping into like different frequencies and stuff like that.
And tapping, literally like the tapping people do on their either tapping
on their
points
forehead.
On their bodies. Yeah.
Because it does create a certain vibration when you do that. It's so interesting.
I'm seeing that repeated in so many of these stories. Yeah. Frequencies and vibrations.
Mm-hmm. And I guess my general nature is to always like go, oh, well, maybe that's the thing because everybody poo-poos it. You know what I mean?
But it's, yeah, that's the that's open
my
mind.
Whole thing. Like,
that's
the oh, open well, mind. Why is everybody like, maybe that's it. Maybe that the reason for that. Open and mind and also be. Tin hat, a little tin hat on my part. Because I'm like, well, why? Why are you? Why are we so against this? Why? It's so
but
tin
that's
hat
part
on
of it
my part.
Too. It like is letting true. Different, like, okay, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that.
Yeah. 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 So that's why I'm always like, well, if and everything that like expands the mind.
Yes.
I'm always thinking, oh, people are super, but you're right. What if they found, what if a corporation found a way?
Yes.
To open your mind and fuck with you.
Because they do that on a smaller scale.
They do.
I mean, they do it through advertisements. They do it through, you know, fake ads. When yeah. I worked for the, in the news business.
Right.
I mean, a law was in place where you had to put advertisement in little tiny letters, but the design could be exactly like an article.
Uh-huh.
And many people would read this ad.
You're right.
And
it's
that's,
like,
that's the news agency as yep. well, selling their soul
you're,
for money.
You're right.
So.
Okay, we got to wrap this up because I have 12 minutes and I got to save this.
Oh, okay.
So.
And bye.
And bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wait, What?
And remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you've got to meet our intern, Sarah. She's all over TikTok.
And you can find all this on our website on waitwhatpodcast.com with 3 A's.